Today's talk is one of two. This is today I'm talking about mild TBI studies. This is in collaboration with my colleagues Ian Yen and John Hughes at the Mayo Clinic. This is part of what I'm going to explain here for a second. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Dr. Tim Bentley from the Office of Naval Research, under the Program of Force Health Protection, Warfighter Performance Department of the Office of Naval Research. So this is this talk and the one tomorrow is part of a larger program in which we involving Phil Bailey and his group at Washington University, Curtis Johnson and his group at the University of Delaware, and the Mayo Clinic. Essentially, what we want to do is obtain a broad database of magnetic resonance elastography and diffusion tensor imaging on people who are both have both healthy controls and people with who present with TBI from known injury, both moderate to severe and mild TBI. And we want to provide this information to what we call the mixed model inversion. I was going to explain what that is. It combines isotropic and anisotropic inversions. We want to correlate these metrics with the state of health or pathology, and then we want to develop a classifier to be able to use this data for rapid screening and diagnostics. So to begin with an isotropic inversion, in 2000 we introduced a variational formulation in collaboration with the Mayo Clinic, wherein you see here the gelatin phantom. We used a variational inversion, the displacements, the first inversion, then we used directional filtering to obtain a more refined version. We published this in 2000. Subsequently, with my colleagues, you could see here Michael Scheel, Sebastian Hertz, Jürgen Braun, and Ingolf Sack here at Charité, which we entitled In Vivo Wave Value Elastography of White Matter Tracks in the Human Brain. Here we performed an anisotropic inversion to obtain the nine orthotropic stiffness coefficients in the corticospinal tracts, and we evaluated them to be, or determined that they were transversely isotropic. We did this in five healthy controls. So what's a mixed model inversion? Well, we have isotropic inversions and anisotropic inversions, and we know that the brain is very complicated, but generally that consists of two of these sorts of structures, quite possibly poroelastic as well. But here it was demonstrated by Peter Basser, who was one of the principal investigators of diffusion tensor imaging, that you could infer microstructural features from the diffusion tensor imaging. And essentially, here we see we have identified a similar correlation with the elastic stiffnesses. Here you see conventional FA, which is what radiologists generally use to define essentially the directionality. Here we have unconventional FA, which shows better the thresholding between 0 and 1, and here we have the mixed model. So what we do is to use generally a threshold of FA of 0.2. Below 0.2, we consider that to be isotropic region. Above that 0.2, we consider it to be an anisotropic region. So in this way, we perform below 0.2, we perform an isotropic, and below that we perform our anisotropic. So additionally, Peter Basser and his group demonstrated that the eigenvalues were associated with the anisotropy of the structures. Here you can see that all the eigenvalues are equal, they trace out the axes of a sphere. If you have one principal and two that are essentially equal, you have an ellipsoid. And if you have two dominant that are equal and one smaller, you have a disk. And it turns out that these are associated with different anisotropy. Generally, the first one is isotropic, secondly indicates transverse isotropy, and the third, an orthotropic medium. So the measurement details here is that these are performed at the Mayo Clinic, Rochester, Minnesota, using a compact 3T scanner at 60 hertz. We have 2 by 2 by 2 millimeter cubed isotropic voxel resolution, and these were tamed over 120 by 120 and 72 pixels with 8 phase offsets. And this study consisted, we have many more subjects, but this was a compared study. between a 21-year-old healthy control and a 19-year-old high school hockey player who suffered concussion and was diagnosed with diffuse axonal injury. So we used the mixed model inversions. They were written in Fortran 90, and we were computed. We're using these computing now on the Department of Defense high computational facilities. And then we're using 1,152 cores, which is like a third of the machine. And we can run a full brain, all nine coefficients, in less than 17 minutes. So there's so much to show here, but I'm briefly going to concentrate on looking at the hemorrhagic focus. Here, the top line, we show the doesn't look like the light's working anymore. But the top line is that you see the patient, you have the T1, T2, conventional FA, and C44 stiffness and the isotropic using mixed model. Here you see the hemorrhagic focus marked, and you see an indication as to the stiffness associated with that in this transverse plane. Here we have the same planes in the healthy control. Here we have it compared with the conventional FA, and you can see the various thresholds associated with the anisotropy. Here we see the sagittal slice. It's a little more obvious. Too bad this doesn't work, but you can see the there's an enlarged region now of stiffness just below the hemorrhagic focus, not indicated in the healthy control. But it's interesting that we have sorts of it appears as noise or anomalies within these planes of the focus, and they do not appear in many of the other planes. We're trying to figure out whether this is associated with noise in the inversions or in the FA thresholding. Here you see this compared to the unconventional FA. In case you're interested, you're wondering why it's black when this is red in the FA. The discs, these are discs now, and they're pointing essentially outward. So we're working on trying to clarify that, but they're not, it's not 90. They're essentially coming out of the page. Now if we enlarge this here, you can see the enlarged region just below the focus with the stiffness stiffer than, you can see that they're ellipsoids and the stiffer than the background matrix. Yet not as stiff as general white matter. Here we compare the three shear coefficients, C44, C55, C66, within the sagittal plane, within the plane of the injury. You can see that they differ significantly. The C44 is on the order of 4 kilopascal, C55 on the order of 5, and C66 is a little higher, about 5.5. When this happens, this indicates orthotropy. So this is quite unusual. We generally don't see structures with orthotropy unless there's some sort of injury like this which alters it. So here we see kind of similar results in the transverse plane, although the degree of damage is a little smaller. However, this is only one plane. If you descend, you'll see the bigger volume. Here, when we look at the coronal slice, here it's really highly isolated. You can see the hemorrhagic focus, and now they essentially have isolated to a plane within this region. So every single direction that you look at, and thus you appear to see a different stiffness because the slices have variations across it, and the different volumes associated with the alteration. Now, here in terms of the statistical results, there's so much to show, and I'm just going to briefly run over this. The numbers in green means that they're statistically significantly different between the patient on the left, 1115, and the control of 1118. And you can see, I just wanted to point out generally that the conditions for transverse isotropy, these are averaged over all of the white matter over both brains. You can see that 1-1 is on the order of 2-2, 4-4 is on the order of 5-5, 1-3 is on the order of 2-3, And if you do the math, C66 is on the order of C11 minus C12 over 2. Those are the conditions for transverse isotropy. So integrated over the entire brains, the brains represent themselves as transversely isotropic. Then you can see these differences. Now, the other differences are that fractional anisotropy is less in the patient than it is in the healthy control. For the white matter, the gray matter, stiffer in the patient. With then these agreed with results from a previous Lou Gehrig's disease study that we performed in 2014 with Charité. And here you see that with parallel mean diffusivity and radial diffusivity have decreased in the mild TBI patient when compared to the control. So in conclusions, we saw statistically significant differences in the anisotropic stiffness coefficients 2244, 55, and 13. There was a reduction in the patient of the gray matter and fractional anisotropy. And actually, there's a misprint. There was a decrease in MD, PD, and RD within the patient compared to the healthy control. And the first two conditions agree with the results from the Lou Gehrig's disease study. The anisotropic coefficients average over the entire brain generally indicated hexagonal or transversely isotropy. However, in localized fashion, if we look through the structures, there are higher anisotropy up to tetragonal with 6 coefficients and even orthotropic in some conditions, in some places, as you saw with 9. So within the patients, with the diffusion ellipsoids, we saw an enlarged region of damage underneath and in the area of the hemorrhagic focus with differences between 4455 and 66. Now, their future plans indicate that we want to develop a classifier because it makes more sense to compare specific regions of the brain than global measures. Along these lines, what we want to do is use the atlases. There are a lot of these different atlases out there. In particular, one from USC and Johns Hopkins. They have both male and female. There are 189 specific regions in the brain. What we intend to do is to warp these atlases to these regions and to use all of the different metrics we have, both the fractional anisotropy, all the T1, T2, and the stiffness coefficients. Then we want to do age match and gender comparisons. Essentially, this is kind of a comparison of how we intend to proceed with the classification, to warp to the atlas to the brains, to separate out these structures, and to perform sorts of k-means clustering and perceptual linear discriminant analysis. Deep learning, we've decided, is not really a valid strategy because of the limited number of patients and volunteers we have, but eventually we may get to that. So this is our next step, proceeding this. Currently, we have 30 volunteers with full brains, the 3 Tesla. Dr. Curtis Johnson is scanning his collegiate hockey team, male and female, at University of Delaware preseason, and to measure them after within 24 hours of any concussion. They also have triaxial accelerometers in their head for correlation with the damage. And our sponsor also wants to measure 100 Marines who have suffered blasts from various regions, so various conditions. So thank you very much for your time and consideration. So tomorrow I'll be presenting some moderate to severe results in this from WashU. Thank you very much for your time and attention.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. You should have added to the conclusion, sports is not good for you. And yeah. You can measure it.
Exercise is bad for you.
Yeah. Are there any questions?
These are standard errors, not deviations. My mathematician, statistician says this is correct. So to get the correct mean values, you have to multiply by the square root of n. Yeah, so I should have explained that. I should have also changed it for the audience, because that's what you're more used to seeing.
Yeah, please.
For your results on your
No, but we have to take volume into account in more advanced studies.
One more question here. So your diffusion data show in the patient higher anisotropy, right? Compared to the healthy volunteers? So the anisotropy increases based on the diffusion data. Is it right?
The gray matter in the healthy control was stiffer than the TBI patient.
No, I mean based on the
you mean fractional anisotropy?
Yes.
It was greater in the healthy control compared than in the patient.
Okay, and this is in alignment with the MRE data, right? So if you just compare the C44, C55, and C66 components of the elasticity tensor, the transverse isotropy is reduced here in the patient, is it right?
In these results here, the C44, 55 are bigger, C66 is less. But in our ALS study.
So this study indicates that the degree of transverse isotropy, of anisotropy, has shrunken
right
in this volunteer.
Yes. In our ALS study, all of those stiffnesses were lower than the healthy control.
So the anisotropy was not affected by ALS?
Right.
But it is by TBI?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it also, it's highly localized too. If you look at different regions, the ALS, we concentrated on the corticospinal tracts, which were well behaved.
And here you focused on the injury.
The entire brain. Well, the entire brain.
Okay, I see.
But as the injury itself provided variation in anisotropy, which we expected.
But the same information on the anisotropy comes also from the diffusion data, right? This is in agreement.
Right.
The diffusion shows the same.
It comes from the ellipsoids, too. That indicates directly.
Okay, thank
you. There are also three metrics associated, three metrics like FAMD, PDRD, associated with the three different cases of one's spherical, linear, and planar. And those are deviatoric metrics from those particular spherical cases which we're going to investigate.